Once again, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and children of all ages, you are now tuned into the Investor Show. As always, this is your gracious host, the Prince of Investing, coming to you guys and girls live from the beautiful state of Denver, Colorado. Don't forget to hit that like, subscribe, comment, and share button. And as always, glad to see you guys and girls coming in. So if you catch this live, don't forget to drop some comments. Tell me where you're from. Let me take my camera down a little bit. There we go. Tell me where you're from if you're catching this live. Let me see here. And we will, 1 second. We'll start off with a little roll call for the people that are catching it live, and then we'll jump into it. We've got a very interesting topic today. As you guys and girls can see, I'm on a little bit later than I usually am. I'm pretty much talking about what would just happen today. As you can see in the description box, we just had a big bailout go on. Big bailout happened in the airline industry. We want to talk about what does that exactly mean in the airline industry? What does that mean to investors as investors are looking to come in and things like that? So, yeah, come on in. So we're going to talk about the airline industry, the deal that was reached with the Department of Treasury. We're also going to talk about Southwest Airline. I want to bring up Southwest Airline because that's the only one that I'm 100%, not 100% sure of, but I have a reliable source on that, right? So that's the way we can look at it, right? So that's what we're going to look at, Southwest Airline, because I have data of pretty much their deal, how their deal broke out, which I have right here written on my cue cards, and all of the great stuff. So we got a pretty good show. We're going to talk about what does that mean, you know, with the bailout. What does the bailout mean? The breakdown of what airlines are getting. Well, mainly what is Southwest Airline is going to get, and how does that affect the whole industry? How can that affect the whole market? All that other great stuff. So we're going to look at it. We're going to see how this is going to come out. So we're hoping that we're going to have a good day. So we're going to see. So as always, when we get to the 3-minute mark, we're going to do a quick roll call. And after the roll call, we're going to jump into the topic of the Department of Treasury going in and doing a bailout of Bank of America, and particularly Southwest Airline, what they receive, how much they're going to receive, all the other great stuff. So, you know, it's kind of a surprise. I would say, not a surprise. I mean, well, the show, the time I'm going live, I just kind of picked a random time to go live. Saw some good data, read some good data, and I want to share with you guys and girls something to follow along with bailouts, how they work, how they go against the company, and everything else. All right. All righty. So let's see what we got here. Comment where you're from. Okay. Richard C says, hi, Prince. What's going on, Richard? He says he's the first to comment. We got the Matt guy says, hey. Gary Wallace, what's going on? He says, what's up from Indianapolis, Maryland. Okay, we got Maryland in the house. We got the Silver Lion. Staten Island is back in the house. Okay. Staten Island, New York City. We got Nicole M. says, hey, Prince and everyone from Louisiana, by the way, of Arkansas. Okay, we got Louisiana in the house. Okay. We got Chesterfield, Virginia. All right. Max B. says that Max B said that's Bank of America earnings are tomorrow's. Let's look at it. Oh, yeah. Bank of America, they are tomorrow. I actually have a cover call on Bank of America. So if Bank of America does well, you know, if the stock will probably go over $25. I have a cover call at $25, I believe. I think it's like $23. So if Bank of America has a great day tomorrow, if it has great earnings and earnings are doing very good or whatnot, then guess what's going to happen? You know, it'll probably go over $25. I will probably end up losing my stock. And if I lose my stock, that'll mean that I'll probably make, I think it's like $1 per share that I would make, because I bought them for like, I don't know, like $24. And if it goes up to $25, I will sell them for $25, or they get executed at $25. And for per contract, I'll make $100 per contract. And they'll probably, you know, they'll probably exercise the whole option. So I'll still make money. If it goes down, if Bank of America doesn't do well, the stock could go down. I'll still collect the dividend, and then I will collect the premium. I already collected the premium on the cover call on the option side of the house. I would just keep the premium. So I'll be able to keep the premium and my stock, if Bank of America stays the same or below $25 by the end of the week. But we'll see what earnings does tomorrow, right? All right, let's see what else we got here. Richard Sneed says airlines are bad to buy. Okay. He says buy healthcare, food, utilities. Yeah, healthcare, food, utilities. That's fine. Banks, that's cool. That's good to go. Corey Touchstone says he's checking in from Mississippi, still sitting and waiting for you to drop the green light. This is the thing I got to see, right? Even though I may not, even though we have a lot of economical data that's going on, you know, with real estate and unemployment and all that good stuff like that, we can't deny that money is moving into the market at a high rate. We got to understand that the market is controlled by 70% of the market is institutional investors, right? So when we look at the market of institutional investors, you got to look at the whole industry, right? So the market is pretty much being moved by the big boys. And right now, the point that we're at right now in the whole market, people are thinking of another big dip before we get out of this, which we're very ripe for. You know, with the coronavirus, unemployment, real estate, you know, when America's all this uncertainty that's going on. But right now, what I started to do was I started to pick up my investing, right? Because I followed the money and I seen a whole lot of money starting to come into the market last week. This is why you're seeing stocks move. This is why you're seeing stocks that push up, all that great stuff like that, whatnot, right? Okay. And here we go. We got Richard Steen says he's from Grand Junction, Colorado. Nice, nice. And he says he's at a $590 in dividends. Cool, cool. Freddie B says, what's up, Prince? Lanston, Illinois. Okay, Freddie B, nice to see you. Matthew Simmons, howdy, from the Bay Area. Okay, from the Bay Area. Right? And Joyce says, hi, hi, Prince. I'm from Tampa. Tampa, okay, she's from Tampa. Cool. Ashley, okay, how you doing, Ashley? She's from the Bay Area. And Vanessa says, she's from Lacey, Washington. Nice, nice, okay. And here we go. Kevin says, what's up, Prince, from the D.C. representing? Nice. Okay, cool. Who else we got in here? Somebody says, do you think AMC is going to come back? Yeah, AMC is pretty bad right now. Freddie B said he purchased Jets. Freddie B, if you purchase Jets, you're going to be very happy tomorrow. The whole airline industry is currently up about 10%, but we're going to get into that. Sorry to get for real, I think you're trying to say, Max B. Sorry to get off track. Balance sheet, B-I-D-E-O. I think it's a symbol. But okay. Anyway, let's get into it. Let's see what happened today. Let's first look at the Department of Treasury, right? We're going to see what the Department of Treasury has to say, right? And then we're going to go back and see, you know, what does this all mean? So first, let's take a look at what the Department of Treasury put out. Got on my, give me, y'all give me 1 second. I'm going to share my screen for this. All right. Make sure I got the right one. All right. So here, this is from the United States Department of Treasury, right? This came out today. I want to say about a couple of hours ago. Here we go. So essentially what they're saying, this is from the Department of Treasury, which his name is Stephen Munch, if I'm not mistaken. Here we go, right? This is what he put out today. We'll welcome the news that a number of new major airlines intend to participate in the payroll support program. This is an important CARES Act program that will support American workers and help preserve the strategic importance of airline industries while allowing for appropriate compensations to be appropriate compensation for taxpayers, right? So they went here and they went ahead and outlined the people that will be participating. You got Alaska Airlines, you have American Airlines, Delta, Frontier, Hawaiian, JetBlue, United, SkyWest, Southwest, all these other good stuff, right? As they told us, plan to participate in the payroll support program. I'm going to say, all right. So pretty much they're saying they're going to work to review all the applications and they want to get the money out to them as fast as possible, and they're going to look at some smaller passenger airlines as well. So essentially right here, they're saying, hey, we got a deal done today, and we're going to be giving a bunch of money to airlines, right? So when I looked around, I couldn't find out who was going to be the big guys. You know, what does this actually mean? You know what I mean? So here we go. Now that they said they're going to put all this money into the airlines, now we want to look at what does the airlines mean. Now I want to let everybody know, like I said 10 million times, this is not advice. This is financial education, right? This is not telling you what to buy, how to buy. You do that on your own. I'm just showing you the exact data and report, and you make your own interpretation, right? So I don't want anybody coming back saying, oh, Prince said about this. No, we're talking about this is actual data put out from the Department of Treasury, talking about the airline industry. That's what we're reporting on, right? So now let's look at it. When we look at, I don't know what Skyline and all these other people got bailed out for. So let's look at the bailout. One bailout I can see was Southwest Airlines. Let's take a look at theirs. They was pretty open about it. All right. Now give me 1 second. Southwest Airlines. Here we go. You know what? Let me change it up a little bit so you guys and girls can see the whole thing. There we go. So here, this is Southwest Airlines. This is on their website, right? This came out today. Southwest Airlines has reached an agreement principle on payroll support program under the CARES Act. So Southwest Airlines, right? So essentially, they're pretty much saying that they came out today saying that they got a deal with the U.S. government for a bailout. So right here, this is where the details are. This you can see where everything the company is going to get. The company is expected to distribute under the program more than $3.2 billion, considering of more than $2.5 billion in direct payroll support, $1 billion unsecured term loans. The loan is expected to have a 10-year term with low interest, and, you know, it may be repaid earlier. The loan is expected to include 2.6 million warrants issued to the U.S. Treasury, right? So pretty much, I'm going to break down. I wanted to show you guys and girls, this is coming from Southwest Airlines. This is their website, and that came from the Department of Treasury. So we're going to break down what they said and what they mean, right? What does that actually mean? Because I remember there was a time when I was looking at, there was a time when I would see bailouts. I didn't know what a bailout meant, what a bailout was. Back in 2008, it was the financial industry. It was banks left and right. I didn't know what banks was getting bailed out, how they was going to get bailed out. But here we go. We're going to talk about it. So Southwest Airlines pretty much said they got a total of they're going to get a total of $3.2 billion from the Department of Treasury. $2.3 billion is going to go to direct payroll. Now, all I'm going to tell you what they're going to get, I'm also going to tell you what are the stipulations they're going to get by. So they're going to get $3.2 billion from the U.S. government. $2.3 billion is going to go to direct payroll, meaning this is the money to keep them from laying off people, furloughing people, all that stuff like that. So they're going to get $2.3 to maintain their payroll all the way into September 30th of 2020. Also, they got close to $1 billion in a loan. So if close to $1 billion of it was a loan, that means the rest of it was pretty much a grant. They pretty much just got free money for the most part. Now, of course, it came with a hook. Now, the government said, hey, we're going to give you this money, but the government issued warrants. This is a classic example of what Warren Buffett did back in 2008 with Bank of America. When Warren Buffett bailed out Bank of America, he gave them approximately $5 billion, but he got warrants. What are warrants? That gave them the ability to be able to buy Bank of America, buy the stock for a certain price in the future. For prime example, a company runs into trouble. A company needs money. They need liquidity. So the investor says, hey, look, I'm going to give you this money, but in return, I want the ability to be able to buy your stock for a certain price in the future, right? That's exactly what they're saying. So that's exactly what they're saying. So what the government is doing, the government has issued warrants to the airline industry. So they're pretty much saying that, hey, look, we're going to give you this bailout, but we want to be able to buy your stock for a certain price in the future. They didn't say what that price was, but they did release, if this happened, if the government executed on these warrants, this means that the government could end up owning 1% of Delta or Southwest Airlines. It could end up owning 2% of United and 3% of America if it executed its warrants, right? So now with the stipulation, they got $3.2 billion. They only have to pay back a third of that, right? They don't have to pay back 30% of that, which is like $1 billion over 10 years at a very low interest rate. They didn't say what the interest rate was, but they said a very low interest rate. Now, the stipulations with this, they cannot furlough and they cannot reduce pay until September 30th. They cannot furlough people. If you take money from the government, you cannot turn around and furlough your workers or reduce the workers' pay. That's one thing. The second thing is they cannot also buy back their own stock, something that Mark Cuban made very popular. They cannot buy back their own stock, because if you buy back your stock, it raises the value of the stock. They can't buy back their own stock, nor can they issue dividends through this time period. So they have to cut dividends, right, because it wouldn't make sense to be paying money to investors, because people feel that is wrong. You take money from the taxpayers, and then you pay money to investors. So they can't issue dividends, and they can't buy back their own stock until September 20th of 21. So they can't issue dividends or buy back stocks until next September 30th of 2021. Also, the executive, they cannot do executive compensation until March 24th of 22. So they don't want them, hey, get this money from the government, then give out big fat bonuses with government money. They can't do that until 2022, March of 2022. They can't buy back their own stock, and they can't issue dividends until September of 2021. Which kind of makes sense. And then also, the government has issued warrants. This is something that was a classic example of what Warren Buffett did, right? So what Warren Buffett did back in 2008 when the financial markets were going down, if I'm not mistaken, he brought warrants, right? He gave them like a $5 billion bailout. Then he purchased warrants at $7. So he had the ability to be able to buy Bank of America for $7 for any time in the future. He executed the warrants in 2017 for three times as much more as he brought them for. So that was a $12 billion come up for him, because he was able to, while the stock was trading for $21, $22 in 2017, he was able to purchase the stock for $7. So that was an immediate massive, he had the ability to buy 700 shares at around about $7, if I'm not mistaken. Don't quote me on that exact deal that he did back in 2008. I'm just kind of paraphrasing to kind of give you an example of what the Treasury Department is doing. So if you don't know your history, you don't know where you're going, right? So that's what Southwest Airlines. So now let's take a look and see how did the market return, or how did the market react to Southwest Airlines, to this whole deal. So let's take a look and see how the market reacts. Y'all give me 1 second. I'm going to share my screen here. So here's Southwest Airlines stock, right? Here's Southwest Airlines stock. Right here, you can, oh, my bad. I'm not even sharing my screen. I'm sorry, you guys and girls. I'm sorry. Y'all give me 1 second. I'm screwing up here for a second. Where is it at? Southwest Airlines. Boom. Okay. So this is right off of Google. Southwest Airlines, you can see right now in the aftermarket, it is up 7.82%. Now let's go look at jets. Jets is the entire industry, right? The entire industry is up 12%. Jets. Somebody in the comment box said they purchased jets. Jets is up 12%. Jets is up 12% to $16. I mean, we talked about this before. So people are looking at the airline industry or whatnot, right? So there you go. That's how the market reacted to it. So the Department of Treasury came out. I think it said that the deal was worth about $25 billion for the entire airline industry. But you can see the entire market is happy. American Airlines, the whole industry is up 10%. American Airlines is up in the aftermarket. Southwest Airlines is up. Everybody is up, right? So American Airlines, Delta, Southwest, Jets, all this other good stuff, right? So all these particular industries are up about I want to say about 10% when you look at the industry as a whole. And the reason why is that because of this bailout that just got announced about an hour or two ago. They said it was worth about $25 billion. Don't quote me on that because I don't have any factual data to say that. Some media outlets were saying that, but I don't have any factual data. The factual data that I have is from the Department of Treasury that listed out the airlines that it's going to give a bailout to. And then I have from Southwest Airlines on their website, the media said that, hey, we're going to get $3.2 billion. Majority of, we don't have to pay back a third of the loan, but we issue warrants to the U.S. government and all the other great stuff. So they pretty much majority, 60% of what they got is going, well, 70% of what they got is pretty much a grant that they don't have to pay back, if I'm understanding that correctly, right? So, yeah, so now we're looking at, you know, now you're looking at everybody say, what you call it, right? So now we're looking at the whole airline industry. That's what happened today. That was the big mover after the market. So you're saying after the market, if you take a look at Delta, if you take a look at Southwest, if you take a look at Jets, J-E-T-S, J-E-T-S is an ETF that tracks all of the entire industry, right? I won't say the entire, but the major players in the airline industry. So even that ETF, Jets is up about 12%. You're seeing Delta up going up about 12%. All these guys are up just due to what? Due to a bailout coming. And they said the bailout was worth $25 billion. But we see, what does that mean for investors? If you already invested, good for you. You're going to make money, right? And why do you see the stock shooting up like that? That stock is not shooting up because people with E-Trade or TD Ameritrade or Robinhood account just buying a couple shares. That is moving because institutional investors are moving money. So let's take a look for prime example. Here we go here. We're going to take a look. We're going to take a look and see who owns majority of the shares of Southwest Airline. And the good thing about it, too, you have Southwest Airline pays a dividend. Delta pays a dividend. Not for long when they take this from what they're saying, if they take this bailout. But let's take a look. I think it's LVV. It's the stock symbol. Here we go here. Once again, let's take a look at ownership. Y'all give me 1 second. I'm pulling it up here. I'm going to share my screen here. All right. And I would show this because I had someone, I saw a comment one day. Somebody wrote and said, hey, Prince, man, I wouldn't be investing in the stocks. You know, you guys are just donating your money to the market. You need to follow the money. All the money is going into whatever, right? 70% of the stock market is owned and moved by institutional investors. So, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm showing you here, this is Southwest Airline pulled up on E-Trade. This is the ownership. You're looking at 84%, right? 84% of Southwest Airline is owned by institutions. 81% is owned by investment managers. 2% is owned by brokerage firms, strategic, and less 1.1% is held by strategic entities. Less than, you're talking about 15% is owned by non-institutional people. Down here, who are the big holders in Southwest Airlines? Berkshire Hathaway, BlackRock, Vanguard. Who else is in here? Vanguard, T. Rowe Price, the usual suspects, right? These are the people that own majority of the shares, 84%. That's a lot. Out of the 452 million shares out there, 84% is owned by institutions. So when you're looking at the stock move when you see the stock move and things like that, it's usually done by the big money. This is where the big money is coming from, right? Hopefully that makes sense to you guys and girls. So here we go. All right, we get here. I'm from the Bay. Richard Sneed said, why are you day trading, Prince? Who Who said anything about day trading? You said you're a dividend. Kevin says, what's up, Prince DC representing? What's going on, Kevin? I'm trying to get to some of y'all comments. Okay, close by. All right. I think he's talking to somebody else there. Okay. King Thomas the 4th, 7 said, do you think AMC is going to come make a comeback? I can't really say about AMC. AMC, for anybody that don't know, that's a theater company. You know, they're close to filing bankruptcy. You know, nobody is coming out right now watching movies. So they definitely have a hard time. I haven't looked into their financials. I haven't been a big investor into movies and theaters, mostly because of the industry has changed. I mean, theaters was already struggling. If you notice, theaters are located near a lot of shopping centers and malls, right? So people don't go to malls. Malls don't get the traffic they used to get. You can see Amazon is thriving. People are not leaving the houses, you know, and nobody's going to movies. Movies are closed. So we don't know how long they're going to be closed. Not an industry I'm looking at unless they got some type of bailout coming along or something like that. But, yeah, definitely I'm not looking into them. Freddie B said, I purchased Jets, J-E-T-S, right? That's the ETF that was tracking the airline industry. Just, you know, I seen that it was up 12% currently in the aftermarket. So you might have a nice little day tomorrow there. That's the airline industry, the ETF that tracks the airline industry. Right? Sorry to get FR. I think I read this earlier. Oh, sorry to get off track, but great balance sheet. Oh, I think he meant video. He put video. Okay. Oh, yeah. Appreciate it. I did a quick little video showing everybody how to look up balance sheets on E-Trade. I'm going to do one for income statements. I'm going to do one for cash flow. I'm going to do the same thing with TD Ameritrade. Just a quick video showing you guys and girls how to get to balance sheets, how to read balance sheets. Well, not how to read them. Just going to show you how to review them. How to review them, and so you can become a better investor, right? He said AMC is rescheduling. I'm not sure about them. I don't look into them. I think he's tagging somebody else. He said, why are you bothering with dangerous stocks? This is a Richard Sneed. This is a financial literacy show, right? We're talking about what's going on in the market. You know, we just talked about a $25 billion layout, a $25 billion stimulus that was done to the airline industry. People want to know about it. We're just telling people about it, right? Max Small, what's going on? I don't know what that means. Appreciate it. Kevin said, Delta versus Southwest Airlines, what's your pick? Ooh, that's a tough one. Me, I mean, if I was to go with one, I'd probably go with both. But that's a tough one because they're the two biggest. I think they're two of the top three in the industry. I don't know. I probably would go with Southwest. The last time I'm looking at their financial reports, I think it was Delta or Southwest. I can't remember. I remember looking at their finances or whatnot. But they both were paying dividends, but it don't seem like they're going to be paying dividends. They take this payout. But if I had to choose one, but both of them are so cheap, I can get both of them. One is Southwest is like $30, Delta is like $22. But if I had to choose one, I probably lean over the Delta, but they're right there neck and neck. If that's what you're into, right? They both pay dividends, they're both at a decent price, they both just got a bailout. But we know this particular industry, as we saw here on the financial reports, we know this particular industry is a very tough, are very competitive. Airline industry is hard to make profits. It spends a lot of money. That's why the first month, soon as people stopped traveling, they needed a bailout. You know, this happened in 2011 too, when 2001, when the 9/11 happened. J-Biz said, what's up, Prince? J-Biz, what's going on? And J-Biz is, I think he's out in Seattle, right? Thank you for taking in from Seattle, J-Biz. I don't know what that is. I don't know what emoji that is, Max B. J.B. said, I own warrants for a medical device company. Okay, we spoke about warrants earlier, and warrants are pretty much giving you the ability, not the obligation, but it gives you the ability to be able to buy something for a particular price in the future. And if it's in your favor in the future, I guess you can, you know, good for you. If it's not in your favor, you just leave it alone. You just call it a loss, right? But that's what the government just did. They just issued warrants. Proud Dad said, what's up, Prince? It's like it's the time to purchase airlines on the next dip. I think it's going to be a run now. You know, when the government came out and announced that bailout, Department of Treasury, Stephen Munch just announced that big bailout. You're seeing in the aftermarkets, a lot of big money is moving to airline stocks. But even though the whole industry is still down about 60% anyway, no more than 60%, the whole airline is down, the whole airline industry, I want to say jets. Let's take a look at jets, for example. You know, I'm just going to say jets because that's the ETF that tracks them. Let me see how much they are down. Let's see how much they're down right now. Y'all give me 1 second. So I think right now they're trading for about $16 in the aftermarket. And let's say, let's look at year to date before all this stuff even happened. They were at, am I missing it? Where is that? Oh, yeah, they're down 50%. So they were at $30 at their all-time high earlier this year, back at the end of February before all of this started to really take toll. The whole airline industry is still down 50%. Well, not once the entire industry, but the Jets ETF is down 50%. Richard Singh asks, is Jets an ETF? Yes, that's an ETF. Kevin Lee said, if it's not making money, drag it behind the shed and shoot it, i.e. sell it. Why buy airlines? I mean, that's up to you. Ask yourself to buy. Why buy airlines? I'm just showing you the financial education. Do you think Ford is ever going to pay dividends? No. Man, maybe in the future, but not right now, no. I told everybody how I feel about Ford. I'm not a big fan of Ford, you know. When the bull market, they didn't perform that well when the bull market was going on. Then in the bear market, it really started to suck. They just continued to drop. Even though they was paying a nice dividend, now the dividend is gone. No, not for me. Vanessa says LUV, that's Southwest Airlines. All right. Max B is saying LUV. Okay, I think y'all was trying to help me out when I was trying to get Southwest Airlines correct. Yep, LUV is Southwest Airlines, yep. Okay, well, Prince, I'm thinking of getting a starter position in RTX. What is RTX? Let's see what RTX is. What you talking about, JBiz? RTX. Oh, Raytheon. Oh, yeah, Raytheon. I'm very familiar with it. That's the defense stock. I do like Boeing a little bit better because, well, you know what? I like Lockheed Martin better than Raytheon, right? RTX, that's a... I forgot. I think Raytheon is in the top five of government-funded contractors. But the number one is Lockheed Martin. So, I don't know. I like Lockheed Martin a little bit better in that particular thing. I'm Warren. What's up, Warren from Oakland? Feeling the FOMO hard. I don't know. Maybe I'm stupid on that. I don't know what FOMO is. I'm sorry. Audi says, so can they give people a good bailout instead of big industries, billion-dollar I know, but the outlook is, hey, if we give it to these, if we give the money to, because think about it, $3.2 billion, that could have made a good bit of people millionaires, right? But they say, hey, we give it to these big companies, then these big companies are going to keep jobs and create jobs and all of the good stuff like that. They have that trickle-down effect versus, you know, hey, you know, they gave us $1,200. They gave us $1,200, but gave Delta $3.2 billion. That's funny. Ruby, okay, what's going on, Ruby, from Memphis, Tennessee? Nice. Right? Lauren Magna, good evening. What's going on? Hey, you... Huey Ho, what do you think about GE, Prince? Oof, not my cup of tea. I know some people that really follow it, like James, he really follows it. So, you know, James will be on the show on Friday. But I'm not a big fan, right? That's me. I don't know. It's been struggling. You know, it's an old, good dividend paying stock, but it's just been struggling these last couple of years. It's all about what else can I get, right? Athena says, when you review the finance reports, you chose LUV because it has less. Okay, that's what it was, right? LUV because it had less debt and more cash reserve. See, Athena, you remember the show more than I remember the show. But we did do a show on that. We broke down. Well, we didn't break it down all the way. We looked at Delta and we looked at Southwest Airlines, right? But when we looked at Delta and Southwest Airlines, they were kind of neck and neck. But I, you know, but she remembers more. They had more cash reserve and less debt. That's very smart. 90% of investors don't even look at financial reports. They look at dividends. They look at the stock price. They look at the company's name. That's about it. But we did do a show on that, and we did talk about that, you know. So that was my bad. I couldn't even remember. I know I did a show on it, but I couldn't remember which way I had went on it. But it was very tough. I knew that. And then also, guys and girls, cash, a company that has a high amount of stockpile of cash with little to no debt, that shows you that they can make it through a hard time. That's why I chose it, because I felt that a company that has a large amount of cash with low debt has a good, has a better chance of making it through a bad time. It would be the same thing if you were to lose your job, but you had a bunch of cash and you had little to no debt. You're going to do it very well compared to somebody who has a bunch of credit card debt, the income slowed down, and they have a lower cash pile. All right. He says, will the government eventually sell the warrants? I mean, buy them? Yeah. I think it probably depends on what the future. What the future will look, you know, if Delta. They didn't say what price they got to be able to buy them at. Maybe it's $25 or whatever it is. I think they will decide what the price is depending on the company. And, you know, it could make money for the company or the country in the future. So, who knows? I don't know. I don't know what that price was. But I think they will only do it if it's extremely profitable. You know, so it's just like, I don't think Buffett would have exercised his warrants if they wasn't profitable. So, but that's a nice $12 billion. She said, my Shopify stock is doing pretty good. Nice, nice. A lot of good e-commerce companies are doing pretty good right now. Jay Biz, the company I have warrants in is PAVM. Look it up. They have FDA approval in the pipeline. PAVM. Let's see what that is. Sounds like a pharmaceutical company. Ooh. What price did you have the warrants at, JBiz? What do you have, you know? What price did you have that at? Let's see. Okay, B Max says, because yes, that stock was $2 that I was just showing. But B Max said, what's up, Prince? Sounds like it's time to fly. I brought jets a few days ago. Going to get Delta tomorrow. Oh, man. Okay, well, that's nice. You know, Delta was a nice little hit, you know, to JETS. You know, I think it's up 12%, 10 or 12% in the airline industry, looking like they're ready to, they're ripe. You know, the government just came in and bailed them out. So, Anthony Wilson said, what's up, P Money from Silver Springs, Maryland? What's going on? What's going on? He said, Ford is what Prince dubbed as the struggle bus. Man, I ain't with that, man. I mean, for people out there don't know, when I say the struggle bus, I look at companies that are like, just like the airline industry, right? You know, before this whole, the only reason why people are worried about airlines, the only reason why you guys and girls started asking about airlines is because, you know, it got beat up, you know? Nobody was looking at Delta last year like, oh, this might be a great investment. I mean, obviously people were looking at it, but it wasn't in the news. It became in the news because of it was struggling, right? So last year, Delta, everybody knows airline industry burns through stocks. I mean, they burn through money. They burn through cash like crazy. People kind of stay away from them. But at $20, I think Delta was at its peak. Earlier this year was at $60. Now it's at like $20-something dollars. So for $20, I might reconsider, right? So the struggle bus is companies that are struggling along. You know, they got all these problems going on or whatever the case may be. Then people are like, oh, Prince, you think I should jump in this car to ride it into the future? So let me let everybody know, everybody, girls and guys and girls know. So in the world of investing, how I see it is you have real estate, you have stocks, you have real estates, you have stocks, and you have what else? Business and yourself. I'm trying to get from point A to point B. if that's real estate, if that's land, apartments, or if that's a particular stock or ETF or a covered call or whatever it takes to get to your other end. That's the only reason why everybody's investing. Everybody got different objectives. Some people invest to make money. I mean, they're someone who's looking to draw income. Some people, hey, I got a job. My money is already coming in. I want my money to grow, right? So your money particularly grows, right? You know what I mean? So that's the way I look at it. But I call companies that are struggling, I don't want to get in that car. You know, I would look at it as a relationship. Ladies and gentlemen, whatever you're into, guys or girls or whatever you're into, if you saw someone struggling, why would you want to jump into that situation? Me personally, I may want to fall back, let you figure it out first before I get on it. That's why you're seeing so much money piling to the airline industry. Why is money piling to the airline industry? All that money was sitting on the side saying, you know, I don't know. Delta is struggling. Southwest is struggling. All these companies are struggling. Delta is struggling or whatever. All these companies particularly struggling, right? So nobody want, everybody stayed away from them. Now the government is coming in and bailing them out. Now everybody's like, oh yeah, buy it, buy it, buy it, buy it, buy it. Everybody's buying it. So that's the way I look at it. He said, Mike grabbed some shares of Uber. I'm back up. Okay, nice, nice. He said, RTX builds missiles. Yeah, they're a government contractor. RTX, that's Raytheon. They do a lot of missiles. They do missiles. They hire a lot of government contractors or whatnot. You see a lot of Raytheon people, especially dealing with military. Next, we say might grab some. What you calling? JD said, JD is next. That's General Dynamics. JB said they were cheap. Good dividend was trading 3 times the price a couple months ago. Ooh, but what price did you get on that? That's what I want to know. LMT is next. You're talking about what? You're saying LMT is next, JD is next. Next to do what? We just need, I don't know what you're saying on that. Fear of miss, oh my God, FO, I'm an idiot. No, I know what FOMO meant. I just didn't know what he was saying. I didn't know, he just said FOMO, okay. I forgot what that meant. Yeah, FOMO. Max B, everyone get ready for them stimulus checks tomorrow morning. Still, you know, I should do a show on investing stimulus checks, huh? Yeah, because, you know, if you are, if you qualified, I think it's $1,200 per adult and $500 for children, right? So it's a great time. I'm doing a show tomorrow talking about investing for kids. Great time to invest. If you receive $500 for a kid, it may be a time to, if you haven't already started investing, to start an investment account for your kids. Shirley Martin says she is watching. Thank you, Ms. Shirley. Michael said, Prince, what's up? You see Tesla? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Tesla the last few days been very nice. You know, I thought Tesla was going to go down to like $100, $200. But it fooled me. You know, I thought the market had another dip. As it's looking like right now, it's looking like it already dipped and it's coming, making its way back up. Lorena says, okay. Okay, who else we got in here? Haldeman said, OMG, capitalism. I think he's talking about, you know, hey, they want to give the money to the companies, let it trickle down to the people. Because they feel as though, hey, we give people the money and the companies go out of business, you know, it's just all depends on your political take. Some people look at companies are more important than people. They look at if the company's doing well, that means they're going to hire people and everybody else will do well. But they say, if we give money to the people, the people blow the money, then where are they going to work in a month or two or 3 months or whatever? JB said he got a steal. He got $1,000 worth of warrants at 62 cents. Wow. Nice, nice, nice. Real nice. So that means that he can buy, I think that stock was $2 and something change. So he's probably up 2-3% that he can go and execute those warrants at. So that's a nice deal right there, JBiz. Nice deal. I think he meant cent, right? I think that stock was $2.60. You know. You praised F back in 2017, 2018. Oh, yeah, F is four. Yes, I did like Ford back then, and I made it clearly. I told everybody clearly when I got off the Ford bus, right? Just today, I may ride Delta. I might be out of Delta tomorrow. I might be out of Delta next week. Like I said, it's a vehicle to get to another point, right? People buy and sell stocks every day. That's called volume, right? I don't know what that's supposed to mean. That was 2 years ago. Yeah, fear of missing out. Yeah, he said, I've been waiting for some kind of dip, but nowhere to be found. Yes, like you got to think about it, Warren. Me too. I'm like, is this it? Is, you know, for the coronavirus, is this going to be it? Are we just going to run back to the top now? I'm skeptical too. But like I said on the last episode, when I see the money moving, I got to move. I got to move. In the meanwhile, you should always be investing. If another dip comes, you really take advantage of it. But I wouldn't sit on the sidelines. You know, it was a scenario I gave you guys and girls. Getting onto a train, right? You see a train standing in front of you, right? Well, not standing in front of you. You're standing in front of a train. And you know this train is going to take off, but you don't know when it's going to take off. So do you get on a train early in fear of being there too early? Or do you just, you know, wait till it happens? The only bad part about it, if you wait, you might, you know, train, you know, you might end up leaving. The train might end up leaving you if you wait too long. But if you don't want, but on the other side, nobody wants to get on early anyway, right? So that's the downside. So to get around that, just invest continuously. If a dip does come, you really take advantage, right? I would say get a little SPXS to cover the downside and keep investing. Especially, Warren, you know, on your profile picture, you're like a young guy. If you're investing for the long term, if you're trying to grow money for the long term, if it does dip tomorrow, and we know it's going to be back up to new highs by next summer. So if you do take a little hit in the short run, so be it. How do you think staffing companies like BSG will do considering the rise in unemployment? Let's think about that. A staffing company, they make money by getting people jobs. You know what? I don't think right now they're going to be doing good with the rise of unemployment, because how staffing companies make money is they take a person, they give them a job, the person gets the job, then they make a percentage of what that person makes. But if companies are not looking to hire nobody, how can they place people? You know, it would be like if I was a A&R executive and I'm supposed to get people record deals, right? I'm hypothetically speaking. But if the record company is not looking for new artists, how can I place people, right? So I don't see that one. Speaking of fear of missing out, Amazon, 2,200 calls, $92 yesterday. Wow, hit 19. You got to be kidding me. Woo! I have the Amazon stock. You know, Wesley does have the Amazon stock. I saw last time I looked in the portfolio, I think it went up like 10, 11% or something like that. But I do have the Amazon stock, not calls, because I couldn't have predicted what happened today with Amazon. Ashley said, I'm thinking about purchasing cruise line stocks, but they are getting hit hard right now. Yes, and the big thing about them, they could potentially be bailed out as well. I think their name was in the bailout. But the bad part about it is you got to make sure it's a domestic company. Only domestic companies are even eligible to get bailout money. So if your company, if it's Royal Caribbean, don't quote me on this, but if your company is internationally owned, you know, I would stay away from those. I look at domestic companies that were doing well before the market took a downturn. Right? Do you think Boeing is scheduled in the package? I didn't see Boeing. We're going to take another look at it, ladies and gentlemen. Well, what came out today? Now, I don't know what they got planned. 1 second, ladies and gentlemen. Let me pull this back up. Was it this one? Yeah, looking at this one right here, Michael. It says Alaska Airlines, American Airlines, Allegiant is what it sounds like, Delta, Frontier, Hawaiian, JetBlue, United, you know, and it kind of was hitting on, that was the ones I seen today. I haven't seen anything about Boeing. I didn't see Boeing on here. But think about it, you know, if I'm not mistaken, Boeing are the ones that make the airline, that's who a lot of these airlines buy their planes from anyway. So if they're doing good, then I'm going to assume that, what you call it, be doing well as well, doing good as well. So no, I didn't see anything for Boeing name in there, but a lot of those airlines, they're the ones that are buying that. Right? Uber got sued for $1 billion, avoid bad business. Uber got sued by Google. Let's take a look at something, Richard. Uber got sued by Google. Let me just look at something real quick. Google, you're saying Uber got sued by Google. Let's take a look at something together, ladies and gentlemen. So when we look at Uber stock, who owns the majority of the shares in Uber? Right here, Alphabet. Alphabet owns $3 billion. They own 71 million shares. Google, the parent company of Google, is Apple. Apple owns 71.1 million shares of Uber. Uber is the largest shareholder, right? They are the largest shareholder. They're not the largest shareholder. They're one of the largest shareholders of Uber, right? We can see it right here. It's saying that Alphabet shares held 71 million, worth $3 billion. Right? So the fact that they would go and sue them, not saying it didn't happen, just sounds pretty strange and crazy. Why would you sue a company that you have a pretty big investment in? Saying next is how the Pentagon raced them. Okay. Well, I look at how I rank them out. Google, the top government contractors. I'm pretty sure Lockheed Martin is like number one. Boeing is like number two, if I'm not mistaken. Do you think Boeing's in the package deal? No, I did not see him in there. King Thomas says, yeah, how do I start investing account with $1,200? How to start an investment account with $200. Okay. All right. Yeah, we can do that. Okay. It's kind of a time system. Also, it's good to have both a brokerage account and a Roth IRA, Prince. A Roth IRA, it depends. A Roth IRA, you can't touch it without penalty to 59 and a half. Some people want their money by 40, 45, or whatever the case may be. So a Roth IRA, even though it's pre-tax dollars, no, it's post-tax dollars. I mean, the money has already been taxed. The only downside is that the positive is that the money is already taxed. So I mean that any growth you may have, it gets to grow tax-free. So let's say you went in your account and you brought Amazon stock and it just ran up and did amazingly for you, right? That means that what happens for you? You brought Amazon stock. It did amazing for you. That means when you go to take your money out, if you wait till 59 and a half, you already paid money on that and your money got a chance to grow tax-free. That's one of the things that you wait to 59 and a half. The brokerage account, you can pull your money out at any time, but you're going to get capital to gain tax, short-term capital to gain tax, all the other good stuff, right? So that's why do I have both? Yes. And why do I have both? Because to be honest with you, when I got my brokerage account, I didn't really know all about the IRAs and stuff like that. But once you have a brokerage, you can't swap over to an IRA because of tax and all that good stuff like that, that I know of, unless something new came out. But that's why I have both. But you don't need both, I would say. It would depends on you. It depends on you, Ashley. It depends on you. The brokerage account, you can pull your money out at any time, but you don't get all the tax advantages, right? A Roth IRA, you can pull your money. And you can't pull your money out at any time. If you do, you'll get penalized, right? So, but your money you get tax advantages. So Roths, IRAs get tax advantages. Brokerage accounts don't get tax advantages. Roth IRA, you get tax advantages, but you have to wait to 59 and a half to avoid a penalty. With the brokerage account, you can pull your money out at any time, but you don't get the tax advantages. So it depends on you, I would say. He said, you all better pay all your bills. That's true. That's true, guys. You got to think about your financial picture. Do you owe debt? How much debt do you owe? Good stuff like that or whatever. That's what you want to be thinking about, right? Here we go. JBS, I'm putting my stimulus check in my futures account. Nice. There you go. Hold on, make sure I don't miss anybody. Freddie B said, I did open up an account for my 12-year-old son on E-Trade. Nice, nice, good, good, good. I just wish my dad would have done that. Wish I would have told him. Shouts out to my dad. I was lucky enough to have a great dad. Prince, good job. I brought ERI March 18th for $7, $15,000 risk, $50,000 risk, and sold it for $19 on March 25th. Now it's at $17.50, so multiply now, waiting to see if it drops again. Good job on you. That's a nice piece of money. You want to send me $5? Please do. I appreciate it. Now I'm waiting to see if it drops again. I like United Airlines for the long term. Now, you don't think about United Airlines. They struggled when everybody was doing good. They were on the struggle bus, right, for a while. You know, they were it's like somebody commented and said, Prince, you was four, two, three years ago. Yeah. Until I realized it was a struggle bus. Then, you know, I'm like, man, come on. The dividends were nice. The stock was staying sideways, but the stock kept dropping and dropping and dropping. And where your stock is dropping, when in a bull market, when everybody else is doing great, I got to reconsider. And I went on record and said, hey, I'm not with stock, right? I'm not with Ford. You know, it was a good, cheap company. It was $9. And I'm like, ooh, nice. But then it just kept dropping and dropping and dropping. Now it don't cut its dividends. Because I said, if you are struggling in a bull market, you really going to struggle in a bear market. So I can't get with that. I had to get off the bus. So American Airlines, you know, airline stocks going in the long term, they always have a bunch of debt. It's hardly competitive. They barely make a profit. You know, that's a hard industry. As an industry as a whole, I go somewhere else. Right now, of course, people like them now because they're grabbing them on sale. But as far as going into the future, no, I really go get me an Apple, Microsoft, or something like that. That pays me a dividend and has good books. Okay. Ooh, okay. He said he about to turn it into, okay, I feel you. Right? Do a video on CAGR. I don't know what that is, but maybe we'll see. We'll see. Seriously, y'all do some research on PAVM. It is a potential to be $10 in the next couple years. That's nice. If you got a $62 warrant and it's going for $10, and it's going for $2 right now, you're looking pretty nice. And if it goes to 10, you'll be very nice. I'm definitely going to look into P. You got me looking at that one. P. He said, facts, man, we should link up. I'm in Vancouver. Oh, you in Vancouver, Max B? Okay, nice. And Jay Biz is out there in Seattle. That's pretty cool. Richard says, avoid cruise line stocks. Yeah, maybe. Word, Vancouver lit. It said lit in the summer. I don't know if it's going to be lit this summer. Corona got different plans. Richard said, go to the news. Uber got sued for software and hardware theft. It made it international news. I mean, I'm not saying it didn't happen, but I'm saying that's pretty crazy. Why would Google sue one of the companies that it owned? I don't know. That don't make sense to me. Maybe it did get sued, but, you know, who knows? It just sounds crazy. Zoom is doing good. Took a chance. Got in at 107, now 114, but sale already if it drops beyond a certain amount. Okay, so you got a trailing stop on it. I'm assuming that Texo. I'm not sure how well they're going to, when things normalize. What do you think? I don't think they're going to do that well. I wouldn't bet on them normalizing. They're like Clorox. Clorox bleach, it had a spike because of what's going on with the coronavirus. I don't get into companies that are fad, that just, boom, it has a crazy spike because of what's going on. They don't like when everything normalized, or will everybody be zooming like they're zooming now, or would everybody be go back to normal? So I'm not crazy. Just like Clorox. Clorox is a consumer staple. People are going to buy Clorox regardless of what's going on in the economy. But it had a spike due to the last black swan that we just had, the coronavirus. And I'm going into the future long term, Clorox probably won't be on my list. I'll probably go to someone else. Okay, I think he's sharing this. Let me see, can I click on this? It won't let me click on it. Let me see, can I highlight it? I can't click on it. It won't, I'm guessing you're trying to share a former Google self-driving engineer who prompted a lawsuit against Uber. See, come on, man. See, Richard, this is saying, I'm just looking at the link you said. It said former Google self-driving engineer who prompted a lawsuit against Uber hit with criminal charges. From looking at it, it says, you said Google sued Uber. That's what you said earlier. You said Google sued Uber. Now, I don't even click on the article to even read it, and this tells you former Google self-driving engineer who prompted a lawsuit against Uber hit with criminal charges. So I'm looking for something that says Google as an alphabet sued Uber, which would make no common sense to me because I just showed you they own 3 billion shares in Uber. Google Alphabet owns 71 million shares of Uber, so why would you turn around and sue them? And that's factual data. That's not what I'm not sharing a news article. I'm not sharing what I heard or what somebody told me. I'm showing you guys and girls what the SEC is reporting, right? Alphabet is reporting that they own 71 million shares. They hold 71 million shares of Uber, unless this was before they owned the shares or something like that. So I'm like, why would you sue a company that you already own? That wouldn't make sense to me. Y'all need to go in the backyard and figure that out. Yep, he said, Roth IRA is always a good way. You can have a Roth IRA and a 401k. Yes, your 401k usually comes from your employer, and your employer offers you some funds. Like, take me, military, we have the TSP, and then you take away the Roth IRA. The Roth IRA was, that's something you can go build with an E-Trade, TD Ameritrade, and you can have more direct funds over it, right? He says it's an extra tax-free check. Yes. Always start a Roth as early as possible. Yes, sir. I would like to get my son one, but for children, they got to have an income of some sort. You can use regular IRA for backdoor Roths too. Okay. Hold on, I'm missing. Thank you, Prince and J-Biz. Anytime. You can only contribute $6,000 yearly to a Roth IRA, then it's maxed out. So take that in consideration. Yes. Somebody was commenting. I was telling them they were trying to buy, they wanted to open up a Roth. They maxed out their Roth IRA, but they wanted to buy index funds, right? And, what you have to do is max out, what you call it, funds? Okay, you can only contribute $606,000 a year. But you can max out your 401k and purchase the index in most cases, right? And then you can use the other $6,000 tax-free to be able to invest as well, right? Prince, you have any positions you looking to start with new companies? Ooh. Right now, it's hot on my radar. Tomorrow is Bank of America to see how Bank of America does. Pretty much, I sold a call on them, right? I sold a call on them at 25. I got a covered call, so I own the stocks too. So if the stocks go up, great for me. I sell them for $25 and, I sell them for $25 each. I think I paid them for like 24, make a profit on per contract. And, so that's the hot one right now. Bank of America calls. Will I keep my stock or will I lose, or will my stock get executed against and I lose them? Either I lose them for a profit or I keep them for the longer term and collect the dividend off of them and wait until we just seen this big stimulus check. We spoke about that on the last episode, right? So here we go. Here we go. Lori said, the other two stocks that I have are growing and growing. Is a bad market ticker, AM. You said the other two stocks I have are growing and growing in this bear market. Well, we're almost back in the bulls right now, right? AMT and SBAC. SBAC. This is what SBAC is. right? Here we go. SBA Communications Corporation. Okay. Communication company. I don't know too much about them. AMT is a good stock to own too. Okay. Wish I could have got into equities at last crash. All right. So Richard is saying, former Google self-driving engineer who prompted a lawsuit against Uber gets hit with a criminal charge by the U.S. Attorney General's office, filed charges against former Google exec Anthony Lodwiski, whatever, who allegedly stole self-driving car trade secrets and gave them to Uber. This is saying they filed charges against a former Google executive. Earlier, you said Google sued Uber. This is a Google. Okay, if you are in the military and you sell secrets to somebody and you are a military officer, so you get kicked out of the military for selling military officers and you go to court-martial, that doesn't mean they're going against the Navy. That means that they're going against that particular person. So, Healy, what your words are saying, office files charges against former Google executive. That has nothing to do with a Google company. It said former Google executive who allegedly stole self-driving. You know, you sold trade secrets. So apparently he gave trade secrets to Uber, and the U.S. Attorney General office is filing charges against him. Yeah, you just said Google. You know, that's totally different from the Google. I told you it made no sense from the beginning. Why would Google sell a company that it owns? Not owns, but it owns. It has 71 million shares in. So that makes no sense at all. Wish I could have got the Equix flash crash. Oh, okay. I didn't know who that was when they flash crashed. Right? It's from when they previously owned. No, you didn't say that. Don't try to switch your words now. You said Google is suing, what you call it? And if they sued them before they owned them, what difference does it make? They got 71 million shares. Yeah, very nice selling cover. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Loreen says, yes. I think she was talking about something else there. NBEV. Let's look at NBEV. Let's take a quick look at NBEV. This was Chuck B. Chilling says, can you look at NBEV for me, beverage company that just got a 7-Eleven? Oh, that just got into 7-Eleven. I'm guessing what you're saying. NBEV. Let me take a quick look. NBEV. I'm going to share my screen with this one too. Nope. It just went up 25% today. Let me pull up Yahoo Finance. Let's take in NBEV. All right, let's share the screen right here with you, ladies and gentlemen. Here we go here. Where's his name? All right, So we said we was looking at NBEV off of Yahoo Finance. All right, so it's $1.63. So we got $1.63, right? So the first thing I'm looking at, this company is not even profitable. Look at that PE ratio, Chuck B. Chilling. I'm not looking at it. Kind of, I don't have no time for that. Right now, especially, companies not turning a profit. Maybe when they get to $5, they become more profitable. Maybe I look at it then. But no, first thing I'm looking at, company's not even profitable. You know, so that's a no for me. Non-profitable company. Would you let somebody, would you let me borrow some money if you know if I ain't had no money? I had no income, no job, no way to get money, no investment for me. I've been down that path. Most of those companies, they got a better chance of going down. It probably, it might go up in the future, but I'll just wait. When it becomes profitable and it starts to do good, then I look at it. Now, I do have a couple companies that are unprofitable, but it's due to the space that they're in. And, you know, that's a risk. That's a risk I may take, depending on what it is, right? Richard said in 2017, 2018, you're a dividend investor. Why do you day trade? I don't day trade. Where do you get day trading from? Right? I mentioned earlier about a cover call. A cover call is not day trading. Okay, let me explain what day trading is. Day trading is when you have $25,000 or more in your account and you're a technical analysis person, you're looking to buy and sell a stock in the same day. Right, you're looking to buy and sell a stock in the same day, and you got to have an account with $25,000 or more. I do not day trade. I don't know what are you talking about. Okay, Silver Lion, nice family picture, Prince. Oh, thanks. Yeah, I did put up my family picture before I came on. God bless. Thank you. I appreciate it. I think gold is a good purchase. Athena says, so since we're headed back into a bull market, do you think gold is still a good purchase? Yes, I think gold is a good purchase. And it's crazy. Gold's been doing good. Gold's been going up with stocks, so I like it. So if we do go back down into another, if we do take another dip, a way you can take advantage of the dip is you could buy SPX right now for like $11, I think, $10, $11. And you can add that to your portfolio as an insurance policy. That's a very risky way, but that's something you could do, right? But that's something, you know, God, okay. Lorraine said, I got the stock idea from watching Jim and Jim Cramer on Mad Money. Oh, yeah, on CNBC, Jim Cramer. It's a crazy dude. I'll be like, JW, I noticed you're talking about buying and selling a lot within a year. Doesn't the capital tax affect you of your profit? Yes, it can. But then again, I'm buying and selling sometimes in a Roth IRA. Right. So I may be buying and selling inside of a Roth IRA. I don't care about the taxes if, you know, if I'm still profiting. For prime example, if I buy something, depending on what it is, if I buy Delta this month and I sell it in June and I make $100, right? And, you know, capital gain tax, they're going to take $30 and I'm left with $60. I'm not complaining. So, yes, capital gain tax. If you have a brokerage account and it's a short term, if you trade within a 12 months, that's a short term capital gain, which is about 30%. If you hold it with over a year, then it's long term capital gains, which is 15%. But all depends. All depends on your investment strategy, right? What's your thoughts on AYX? Let's take a look at AYX, see what that is, right? Here we go. Let's take a look at that real quick. So I'm gonna take a look at AYX for a second. All righty. Oh, AYX. Who we got here? AYX. Let me share my screen here so you guys and girls can see. Okay, it's up 9% today. Let's take a look. Okay, so it's a profit. Woo, that's a high PE ratio. Let's take a look at some of his finances. I got to look more into this. No, I want to look at the outlook. Let's look at the profile. It's a tech. Okay, it's a technology company, software application, co-founder. Okay. So that tells me here, this is a technology software application. So that could explain its high. It can explain its high, what you call it? Its high PE ratio. So I got to look at the particular industry. And I'll have to look at its competitors within that industry too. Okay. Nice growing total revenue. That's good. Let's look at its net income. A growing net income. I like that. A growing net income. It was negative in 2016. Growing net income. Growing total revenue. That's nice. Okay. Cash is growing. Net receivables are growing. Okay. Total assets, 1.3 total assets. Total liability, 917, 424. So it's profitable. Has a positive network of 424. Oh, yeah. You know what? We didn't take a look at that. What is the debt? You know, we can see that on the cash flow. Let's look at the cash flow. Debt repayment is kind of growing. That's not too pretty. Debt is growing. That's the only bad thing I see on it. So a quick look. I don't know anything much about this company, but just a quick observation. If it's in the technology sector, I would have to look at it against, you know, I think this stock is about $100. It's $119. I got to look at you against the Apple or Microsoft or whatnot. So this company does have a growing debt, and that could be just part of his business. So for prime example, you know, I'm looking at it, has a growing revenue, a growing net income. Debt is not, I haven't done a ratio to see what debt to income was, but you know, it's not bad. You know, it would be something I would take further look into. Not bad. Right. Hey, there go Miss Evolving Wisdom. What's going on? I just subscribed to your YouTube channel too. What's up, Prince? I've been on airline stocks and Apple, along with some others. I'm being so damn greedy. Nice. Apple's done very well today. I'm a big believer in Apple and Microsoft, of course. You guys already know that. Airlines is doing pretty good now. Tomorrow will be a good day. How it's looking so far about airlines going on, right? Right. So Ghost Hunter said, I'm riding good on gold and silver, buying for years. About the only thing I've got right financially other than watching your show and learning, Prince. He said, I'm buying gold and silver. I've been buying for years. About the only thing I got right. Okay, nice. Yeah, gold has been doing very good. I thought it'd be doing way better. I thought gold would be taken off to the moon right now. But it's been doing pretty good, but it hasn't been doing as good, you know. But you can get in the gold with AIU or GLD. AIU, IAU, GLD. Now, you buying physical gold or you buying gold derivatives? What are you kind of doing there? Piper said, what's up, Prince? Going to have to catch a playback in a few hours. What's up, everybody? Enjoy your day. Happy investing. Petrie forever. Petrie forever. What's going on out there in Arizona, I think, right? Arizona. Phoenix, Arizona. It's about to get hot out there, too. I'm considering buying an extended future dated call option on gold. When I reach a certain profit, get out. You could do that, or you could do the market too. Some people, S&P 500, you can do a leap. Some people call it a leap, which is a year out, thinking that the market will rebound by that time. You could do a leap, but she's pretty much saying that she's going to do a call option to be able to take a certain profit and get out. That's nice. Okay. And then we can see, thanks for the advice. Love the show. Have some rest to get for the graveyard shift at the hospital. Hey, Chuck is chilling, man. I appreciate it. I appreciate it, Chuck is chilling. I like what you're doing. Thank you. You know, being in healthcare, taking care of everybody. That's very essential worker. Appreciate that. Right? Here we go. Michael says, Landolf, what do you think about 5G network stocks? Apple, new lines of phones coming of 5G. Big phone companies are incorporating as well. I'm not always sure on that one, Michael. I'm not smart enough to speak on 5G network stocks. I haven't even looked into 5G network stocks. I can't speak smartly on those. Apple, on the other hand, they will benefit from it if, because people got to get the phone. That's where we're going to benefit from it. So that's why I'm not really. So there we go. Here we go. Thank you for your support, Prince. Anytime. People that support me, I'm always down to support you guys and girls. Kevin, if you had to pick one, Microsoft or Berkshire. Ooh. Oh, man, I got a personal feeling for Berkshire. I like Berkshire. If I had to pick between Berkshire and Microsoft. Financially, looking at the financial statement, Berkshire. But Microsoft, it does pay a dividend. It's a tech company, and I think it will outgrow its stock value-wise faster than the Berkshire Hathaway. But if I had to choose one to go with, I'm going to go with Berkshire. Even though that's a hard one. Oh, you buy physical gold. The only problem I have with physical gold is liquidity. If you wanted to sell it, how can you sell it? Who will you sell it to? You know, that's my only problem. But that's cool, though. You can do that. But you can do that with the market, too, with buying IAU for $15. You can track gold and make some money, or GLD. IAU is about $15. GLD is about almost $200. So that's it. Cleveland here, right? Tony Siri, investment education for you, Cleveland here. What's going on, Tony? How you doing out there in Cleveland? All right. Nice to see you checking in. Nina says, hi, I'm from Richmond, VA. Thank you for all you do. My family loves your show. Hey, man, appreciate it. Appreciate it. This is year number 7. Year number 7. Okay, thanks. Right? Richard from Facebook, what 124 companies are you watching? I'm not going to go through watch it. 124 companies. But the companies that I like are gold. I like the Mac. I like Magna, you know, the Microsoft, the Amazons, the Googles, and Apple. Those are big ones, Berkshire Hathaway or whatnot. Those are ones I've been looking at and eyeballing the most, more than anything else. I don't do 124 companies. That's crazy. I mean, you can't really, I'm not going to sit here. I'm not going to look at 124 countries and have them on my watch list. I can't properly analyze those. Something that Charlie Munger made popular with diversification, you know. He was like, he liked to call it diversification because it was like if you knew exactly what you was doing, you only pick 2 or 3 companies that you knew very well instead of 100 that you barely know anything about. So I'd rather zone in on what I know and keep it down to like 10 that I'm watching at a time, right? Easy one for you, seeing you are acting defensive. I'm not defensive. I mean, you came out and you said that Google is, you know, you said, you know, Google sued Uber, you know, and then it turned around that Google didn't sue Uber and is a worker for Google got sued or whatever. And then, you know, so I'm just showing you with facts. Dividend King, I like a dividend aristocrats. Easy. You know, for dividend kings, I think it's about 25 years of raising dividends. Dividend aristocrats are like 25 years of raising dividends versus dividend king is 50 years. So, yeah, definitely. Here you go. Berkshire Steel. Okay, Kevin is saying Berkshire is still good without Warren. He said Berkshire is still good without Warren. I saw how Steve Jobs departed, left Apple, wasn't the same. Yeah, that is true. Apple hasn't been the same ever since Steve Jobs died. The innovation left Steve Jobs, right? And that's crazy, you know? And that's pretty crazy. But we can see with Warren Buffett, I don't know. You know, he has his guys in place and, you know, they've been learning from him from years. And, you know, he's pretty much letting the other guys run it. He just go to them just to verify and check everything off. So I don't know. I don't like it. I mean, of course, the stock is going to go down because that's the wizard. That's the GOAT. You know, once he dies and go away. But, you know, they've been working on people, you know, behind the scenes. So mostly, you know, you got Todd and Ted behind the scenes, the names that you see all the time. They pretty much make all the decisions. They just cross-check it with him, but that's about it. But, you know, he is a godfather. Of course, when he passes away, he's 90 years old. Of course, you know, people are going to look at the company sideways. So Richard says, you seem to recycle your videos. Same 6 months from E-Trade, TD Ameritrade every 6 months. Why don't you make an actual curriculum? Well, I cycle between TD Ameritrade, E-Trade, because they constantly change. So a video I may have done 2-3 years ago, the platform may have changed. So I have to put out a new video, right, for people to be able to see changes in them. Some people may want to update, but that's what people request, right? People like the tutorial, so they ask for that or whatnot. So I may work on an actual course, right? I've been thinking, you know, we've been talking about that. I may do a course, I may do a class. We've been talking about that for a while. Margaret and Buffett, three companies is wrong. What are you talking about? Are you talking about the three companies that I was saying? I'm talking about a speech that he said. Of course, Berkshire Hathaway has about 50 companies on the inside. But, you know, look up, Warren, look at, let me see here. Looking up, so y'all give me a second before I get ready to get out of here. Let's see here. There you go. So this is a quick article that I just Googled and looked up real quick. But I seen it. I'm not, because I don't have time to go get the actual interview. But you can see the name of this article right here is Charlie Munger, an idiot could diversify a portfolio, right? And then he wrote here, or what they're writing here, the idea that diversification makes sense to a point if you don't know what you're doing and you want the standard result. It may be a barrier. Why, of course, diversify? Nobody's entitled to a lot of money for recognizing that because of truism. And it's like nothing that 2 + 2 = 4, but the investment professionals think they are helping by arranging diversification. An idiot could diversify a portfolio, our computer for that matter of fact, but the whole trick of the game is to have a few times where you know something better than the average and only investor does. So right here, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not making nothing up. He says it right here. An idiot could diversify a portfolio or a computer for that matter of fact. But the whole trick of the game is to have a few times when you know that something is better than the average. Oh, something is better than average, and to invest only when there's extra knowledge. So here we go right here. This is not what I'm saying. This is came right out of one of his interviews. I actually watched the interview. And you can see it. You can read it for yourself right there where he says it. An idiot could diversify a portfolio or a computer for a matter of fact. But with the whole trick of the game is to have a few times when you know that something is better than average and to invest only where you have extra knowledge. So he's saying that, hey, just diversifying and just splitting up your money, diversifying. He's like, hey, if you have a few things that you know very well that you have extra knowledge, that's what you should hone in. Just diversifying doesn't mean that what you call it. So he call it diversification. That's Charlie Munger's thing, you know. That's what I was referring to. So as you can see, I'm not talking about what I heard or what I saw. I'm just telling you what came out of one of his interviews. What do you think about Warren Buffett selling Delta? Do you think it was an emotional move? I don't think so, because he only sold like 13%. It was a very small piece of, when you look at the entire, we did a show on that. It was a very small piece of the entire portfolio. It was, you know, I think it's like out of $1.3 billion, they sold like 13%, 10% of the portfolio airline stock, you know, in April, beginning of April. I don't know why they did it. You know, they don't have to say why they did it, but they did. And they had to report it on their 13F because they own more than 10% of the company. Tony Siri. Oh, yes, Spice. I do have Spice. I brought it for like $22, $25. That was one of my extracurricular. You know, I told you guys and girls about that one. Spice and Tesla. Spice and Uber. Spice and Uber was the two spicy ones. That's like, okay, they're unprofitable companies I wouldn't do, but just for a little excitement. So we'll see what Spice does. It's supposed to be taking people into the future, right? You know? And then here we go. And own Spice, nice. Here we go. Here we go, right here. Q, let's look at Q, what you call it? Here we go here. We're going to look up this particular company. Let's look up QYLD. Oh, S&P 500 covered call index. NASDAQ 100 covered call ETF. That one looks a little weird here. Let's take a look at it together on Yahoo Finance. Here we go. Let's compare it to the NASDAQ. So let's see what this thing is supposed to do. So obviously this thing underperforms the NASDAQ and it's supposed to be a covered call for the NASDAQ. I don't understand the mission of this one. It's down 14. Is it supposed to track the NASDAQ? It says covered calls. I got to look into that ETF. What is exactly is the mission and what it's supposed to hold? Right, I got to look up that one on other platforms to see exactly what that one's mission is. Oh, pays a nice dividend, though. But I don't care about a dividend because I could just go get the NASDAQ. Why not just get the NASDAQ in this situation? If it's underperforming the NASDAQ, it's supposed to track the NASDAQ, outperform the NASDAQ? Because as I can see, it's not tracking it. It's not beating it. It's not bearish, right? So I don't know what that one is about. And then we got, okay, Richard says, so you're calling me an idiot. Nobody's calling you an idiot. I read an article by Charlie Munger, right? It was a guy who was interviewing Charlie Munger, but he was speaking about diversification. He was calling it diversification. You mentioned 124 companies. I said, I'm not looking into 120. I will look into 124 companies, but I can't effectively as one person follow 124 companies, right? So Charlie Munger, who's the chairman, who's the vice chairman of Berkshire Hathaway, 95 years old, been investing forever. He spoke about diversification. He said, narrow down into a few companies that you know very well, that you have above average knowledge on, and focus into them. Something called your circle of competency, right? He's saying focus on, you know, companies, maybe five companies that you know very well, and make investments there instead of trying to go way out and diversifying. So that was a quote from him when he was talking about, when I just read that article, he said only, you know, he was speaking, you know, he used the word idiot, and he was speaking into regards of some people just, he said even an idiot can diversify. So if you're catching the playback, you can go rewind it back and see the actual article in the actual interview. You can search it online. Just look up Charlie Munger diversification, or diversification, what he likes to call it. He says, I'm the top 10 dividend investors. I email you a screenshot of how I compare to other investors. So how you compare your portfolio, how you going to put my portfolio before quoting the idiot phrase five times. So, I mean, dude, I mean, good on you, man. You're a good dividend investor. Great. Go get rich. Don't stay here watching me. Don't stay here watching me. Go get rich. So, but anyway, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and children of all ages, I've been on here way too long past my time, and I'm going to get out of here, right? And here you go. We're going to go ahead and get up out of here today, and we're going to sit back and we're going to talk about it later, right? So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and children of all ages, until I think the guys and girls are all caught this live, and that we'll catch the playback, that catching the podcast that's broadcasted from everywhere, from iHeartRadio to Pandora to Spotify. And also, thank you. We just reached 30,000 subscribers, right? We reached 30,000 subscribers on YouTube, 20,000 on Instagram, and 114, what you call it, you know? You 114, what you call it, right? 114,000, 114,000 on Facebook, 114,000 on Facebook, 21,000 on Instagram, and 30,000 here on YouTube. So thank you guys and girls. Glad y'all enjoyed the live. Hope y'all got it from, you know, and here we go. So thank you guys and girls. Until the next video, podcast, cartoon, or whatever else crazy you see me do around the globe. Peace. Be safe, and I'm out. Thank you.